I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. It's time now for our Africa update. In Kenya, a disputed election has turned into a full-on government crisis. Hundreds of people have been killed, thousands more displaced. Now Kenya's President Mwai Kibaki has invited opposition leader Raila Odinga for face-to-face talks. For the latest developments, we've got Edmund Keller. He's a professor of political science and director of the Globalization Research Center on Africa at UCLA. Welcome, Professor.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you here. So the president is ready to talk. How has the opposition responded?
Well, the opposition initially said that talks were out of the question, but now it seems like Raila Odinga, the leader of the Orange Democratic Movement, now is ready to talk. He says unconditionally. So that's hopeful, but I'm not quite sure what will happen as a consequence of that, because we're really talking about a constitutional issue. Kibaki has been declared the winner, and now, in order for that to change, they'd have to have some kind of intervention from a constitutional court, maybe. They might recount the ballots. They might call for a new election. I'm not sure.
Who else has a hand in this? Could outside governments be involved? How many different entities could ultimately try to help shape what's going on here?
Well, ultimately, it will be the Kenyans who will decide what will happen. It's good to bring out in outsiders to possibly get the two sides to talk with one another. But at the same time, the Kenyans will have to decide. I mean, you've got to understand there is a constitution in place. There are rules, there are regulations relating to how elections should be conducted. People are talking about a coalition government, a shared governance in Kenya. But what then happens to the Constitution? It's a difficult situation.
Archbishop Desmond Tutu of South Africa has come in and met with President Kibaki and Raila Odinga. Is this a situation where what some people have often asked for on the continent of Africa is happening, that you have one group of peacemakers coming into another situation, or is this muddying the waters?
Well, certainly this is a common practice for outsiders to come in and to try to mediate a situation. Tutu certainly has the standing, the international standing, to be effective in this situation. But again, Kenya's a sovereign country. Kibaki is still the president, and he can, make a decision as to who can come in and what their roles can be. As I understand it, Kibaki would like to have the dispute mediated by the Intergovernmental Agency for Development. Odinga would like to have the African Union come in, and somewhere in between they're going to have to come to some kind of an agreement. But certainly a high-profile, eminent person like Desmond Tutu, and even our own Jendai Frazier, Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs, could at least keep this particular conflict on the international agenda.
How has this had a ripple effect? What's going on in Kenya? Has it had a ripple effect around the region?
Oh, absolutely. Kenya, of course, is valued in the region because it's a major transport highway for goods coming in by sea, by air. And those goods end up going to neighboring countries like Rwanda, Burundi, Uganda, all of whom are landlocked countries. And with the disruptions taking place in Kenya, nothing is moving. The ports are backing up. And the economy, of course, the economies of all these countries are negatively affected.
What about the long-term economic growth in the region? I mean, there are certain countries that act as these hubs, as you mentioned, for trade. Is this going to set back Kenya, not just immediately, but in the long term economically?
The United States doesn't have a great deal of corporate activity inside Kenya, but the European Union countries do. Many of them are involved in the tourism industry, and of course, if Kenya's tourism takes a hit, well, then of course it's going to affect, as I say, the whole region in terms of the economic future of the region. Kenya is important to the United States mainly because of its geostrategic location. East Africa has been a sort of training ground for terrorists on the African continent, and this instability, of course, will even further that situation.
Are we talking in this case mainly about terrorists who are born and raised in Kenya, who are Kenyan citizens, or people from other regions?
They could be from other regions. Mainly, they could be from any of the Persian Gulf states, on the Saudi Arabian Peninsula, from Oman, from Zanzibar, from even from Somalia. All of these folks congregate along the coast in Kenya. Kenya, as I said, is wide open. A foreigner can come in and set up business, marry into a local family and so forth and so on, and go undetected for a long period of time.
Is that, in your opinion, these geopolitical factors, the main reason why the U.S. would get involved as opposed to humanitarian reasons?
Oh, absolutely. The humanitarian aspect of it would come in, but only because you could render a certain amount of stability as a consequence of alleviating some of the suffering that's going on. But Kenya is seen as a major partner for the United States in the war on international terrorism, and that's mainly why the U.S. would become involved. It's had port access rights for more than 20 years at the port of Mombasa, but this whole effort in trying to combat international terrorism is something relatively new, but Kenya is central to whatever the U.S. is trying to do in Africa.
There's been a lot of coverage of the fact that Senator Barack Obama's family, at least part of it, is in Kenya, mm-hmm. his paternal side, mm-hmm. and that they have been members of his family and his ancestral village have been watching what has been going on in U.S. politics. Do you think the fact that Senator Obama is from Kenyan heritage makes people look at this at all differently or more closely?
Well, I would think that it would, you know, Kenya would resonate more as a consequence of Obama being from there. It certainly helps in terms of keeping this tragedy on the international agenda, and perhaps if we can keep it there, there might be a movement towards some kind of a resolution. Sure, I think the fact that Obama's family is there heightens the attention given to the problem.
And what do you look ahead for? Meaning, what kind of developments are you expecting to happen, or what possible roads could this take?
Well, the future does not look rosy because hardliners on either side want to continue this conflict until they get what they want. I would hope, though, that there could be some enlightened leadership on the part of the ruling party and also on the part of the opposition. But the ruling party has, from the day one, been trying to push the envelope. Kibaki was sworn in within hours of the vote count being announced. Now they're planning to open up parliament next Tuesday. And if that happens, I mean, you know, it's sort of an acknowledgement of the legitimacy of the election of Kibaki. And so, you know, it'd be hard to push that genie back into the bottle.
Professor Keller, thanks for coming into our studios.
Thank you.
Edmund Keller is a professor of political science and director of the Globalization Research Center on Africa at UCLA.